Good morning, church family. My name's Mitch. I'm the senior pastor here at Dalby Presbyterian. Actually, good morning to anyone who's joining us. You might be here in Dalby, don't normally come into a church building, but watching the live stream this morning, you might be in Gundawindi or Roma or Bell or any one of those towns. We just love having you with us. We'd love so much more to be gathered in person. It's much nicer to be in the same room as people, but when we can't do that, being able to do this is a great thing as well. This morning we're going to look at that very unusual passage from Mark chapter 13. Before we do that, I just want to let kind of the regulars of DPC know that a couple of people are unwell that are worth praying for. Alison Skirman from our early church congregation is pretty unwell. She's come out of hospital on Friday. And also Anne Bartley from our early church congregation. She is in hospital with acute renal failure in Toowoomba, which is pretty serious, so we want to keep those people in our prayers. Please get in touch with us if there's something we can be praying for you. I'm going to pray now as we look at God's word and pray for those people as well. So if you're at home, I'd love you to pray with me. Let's do that. Our gracious Father, we just want to ask, first of all, that you would be with Anne and Alison and their families. We pray that you would bring them healing, and we pray that you would bring them the peace that only Jesus can bring. We're going to look at your word now, Lord God, and we pray that your spirit would speak through me. It would move into our hearts and help us to understand just what on earth is going on in this part of the Bible, and then what on earth it means for us and our position with the Lord Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, if you've listened to me before, I often talk about the TV shows that I like, and one that I've talked about before, but at the moment is trending again on Netflix, along with Joe Exotic, is the TV show Doomsday Preppers. If you're not familiar with Doomsday Preppers, it's about apparently a little bit crazy people who think the world is coming to an end at any moment, and so they stockpile 4 years of rice, build a bunker, things like that. People like Donna Nash, who on an episode several years ago was doomsday prepping for a global flu pandemic. Now, at the time, she was dismissed by people on the TV show, and I must say me as well, when she had a pallet of Glen 20, when she had enough plastic to literally wrap her house in, she stockpiled masks and suits and other PPE, personal protective equipment, and she thought, you know, at any moment this flu pandemic could start in one spot, and then by people flying around the world, it would go global in a matter of days. She was anxious 20 hours a day by her own admission, and now she doesn't look so silly. She actually probably looks like a bit of a prophet. It's no surprise, really, is it, that Doomsday Preppers is trending, because it's a show about what happens if, you know, the foundation of your life, the foundation of the world suddenly gets ripped away, and what you do, how you deal with what might be a world-ending moment. And the reason to talk about that is because this passage today, it looks like it might be about a world-ending moment. A moment when the foundation of the world somehow gets ripped away. I don't know if you noticed in the passage, it's got things like wars and rumours of wars. It's got family turning against family, something called the abomination that causes desolation. It's crazy. Everything sort of comes crashing down. And the question, I reckon, is, that can help us today as we think about it, is what do you do when it seems like everything that was secure comes crashing down, when sort of your life gets torn apart a little bit. You know, you walk into work on Monday, the boss calls you in, and your job's gone. One week you're planning a family holiday, and then suddenly one of the couple, your spouse, says, actually, I've had enough, I'm out. Well, you go to the doctor for a little pain, and then 3 days later you get test results that turn your life upside down. Or suddenly everything you normally do, school, work, shopping, holidays, footy, going out for coffee, getting medicine, money, all of it changes in just a matter of weeks because of COVID-19. What do you do when your foundations are shaken? How do you cope with that? Because that's what this passage is about. This part of the Bible, it's not mostly about the end of the world. It's about a group of people whose foundations of life are being torn apart. It's about a group of people who, for everything they find secure, is suddenly smashed. It's about the Jewish people who are dealing with their precious temple being destroyed. It was the cornerstone of their life, and it's about to get smashed, the place where they found their security and their life foundation, and it's all about to go. We know that because if you read the Bible passage in Mark chapter 13, in verse 1, the followers of Jesus, the disciples, are saying, hey, look at that temple, such amazing stone. That's just so beautiful. It's wonderful. And then in verse 2, Jesus says, see that great building, all of those stones? Not one of them will be left on another. And they're shocked. They say, verse 4, can you tell us when these things will happen? Tell us when not one stone will be left on another. Tell us when this temple will be destroyed. When will our foundation disappear? When will our world be turned upside down? And this is the question Jesus is dealing with. And he tells them in verse 30, all of this will happen within a lifetime. All of this will happen within a generation for them. So the passage is mainly about this temple being smashed. And then in the last few verses, Jesus actually sends us forward to a glimpse of the final end of the world when he will return. Mainly, though, the passage is not about that moment at the end. The passage is mainly about this temple being destroyed. If you don't know anything about the temple, that's understandable. But, you know, you might think about there was a big city and it had a temple that people visited. That's the wrong way to understand what these guys had. It's better to think about it like there was a massive temple and there was a city attached to it. The temple is just so big, it's hard for us to fathom. And it used to be just the centre of the kind of Jewish religion. But by this time, under a guy called Herod, it became the centre of social stuff, of cultural stuff, of political stuff, as well as religion. It was a massive deal. Amazing. And Jesus said the whole lot is going to get smashed. And we see Jesus warning his disciples here. There'll be increasing anxiety, kind of increasing panic as this foundation starts to get smashed. They've asked Jesus, when will this happen? And in verse 8, Jesus tells them, well, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes in various places and famines. This is not the time, that's the beginning of birth pains, the beginning of when their own personal security will be shaken to the core. Because as the centre of their religion comes under threat, these guys think their relationship with God is coming under threat. And there will be a time, Jesus says, of immense suffering. In verse 9, they'll be handed over and flogged, standing before governors and kings, for being people who follow Jesus. As the temple gets smashed, families will turn against each other in verse 12. And then a moment in verse 14, when they can be sure these things are happening, a moment to us that just frankly seems bizarre, but for them, it's somehow clear. It's in kind of sentence 14 of the passage, and it said, when you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand, run! The abomination that causes desolation, it sounds like something I've cooked, but it's not that. It's a quote from the bit of the Bible before Jesus, from the Old Testament, from a book by a bloke named Daniel. And it's a quote from there talking about when something remarkably anti-God appears in their temple. something so terrible it would smash their sense of safety, a symbol that would mean it was time for them to sprint when what they based their life on was ripped out from under them. And it all came to pass, it all happened, as Jesus said in verse 30, within their lifetime, a generation. In fact, about 40 years after Jesus' death, about 40 years after Jesus died and resurrected, in 70 AD, it happened. The Roman general, Titus, he had a great army, and the thing he really wanted to do, he wanted to impress his boss. He wanted to impress his boss, the emperor. So he went after Jerusalem, and more particularly, he went after the temple. And so there was a massive siege, a military advance, and they destroyed the lot. Not one stone left on another. The abomination that caused desolation was there. Run! It was all smashed. The foundation of their life just ripped out from under them. And you know, there's a good thing for us at the moment, if you can call any of what's happening good, is that we're probably closer to understanding how they felt than we have been for a long time. Because the idea of having your life's foundation ripped out, the things that make you feel secure taken away, it's really scary, and we're closer to that than we have been for a while. I was talking to one guy this week, and he is responsible for a lot of employees. And last Sunday, he was actually just feeling fearful. What would happen to all these people? What would happen to all their families? Another guy I talked to, COVID-19 has meant he's just lost his job. And you know, when you're younger, losing your job, it's not great, but you sort of, you know, you can figure it out. But as you get older and you lose your job, who's going to pay for the mortgage? Who's going to pay the rent? Who's going to feed the kids? What if we get sick? I mean, I've got 3 months of savings, but then what? There are other things, aren't there, that can smash our foundation of life, smash our security, things like cancer and other sickness, questions of what will happen at our death, things that spin our head. You know, this uncertainty, this anxiety, this scrambling, this is the kind of thing these disciples, these people, these Jewish people were feeling as Jesus was talking to them about the death of their temple. It felt like the death of their nation, it felt like the death of their God, and, you know, potentially it felt like the death of them. So Jesus wants to reassure them that despite all they go through, whatever it is that shakes them, if they actually make him their foundation, if they feel secure because of Jesus, nothing can ultimately knock them off balance. Now, where I'm about to go, it's a little bit tricky, and this is a tricky part of the Bible, so I can't do anything other than that. But there's a promise coming in verse 24, a promise that after they get smashed, there's hope. An earth-shattering moment in verse 26 when Jesus will come with power and glory, coming with the clouds in great power and glory. And this clouds and glory idea, this is an idea that for them they're totally familiar with, but for us seems bizarre, right? The clouds and glory thing, it's from that same book I talked about before, from the part of the Bible before Jesus, from a bloke named Daniel. This clouds and glory thing is a quote from him. There in Daniel 7, he's talking about this moment when God's representative will have a victory over everything evil. And then God's representative in victory will go up to God and stand on the podium, and around his neck he'll get glory. He'll go on the clouds and God will give him glory because he's won the victory over all the things that could make them insecure. He'll go and get, he'll go and receive glory. Now, that's the part of the Bible that is quoted here by Jesus, but Jesus tweaks it. He does a tiny change. He adjusts the mixture. He makes it just a little bit different when he quotes it. Because, see, the time when Jesus, who was God's representative, went to get power and glory was after his resurrection. But when Jesus quotes Daniel, it's not that he'll go to get, it's not that the representative will go to get power and glory, it's that the representative will bring glory with him. This will be the time when God's representative comes back to get rid of everything that opposed God, to make his victory final, to bring all that was won on the cross to all of God's people and to share it, to finally end the world as we know it. This representative, this one that Jesus calls the Son of Man, which means he's talking about himself, he will bring glory down to God's people in the end. In verse 26, at that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. He'll send his angels, gather the elect from the four winds, which means the ends of the earth and the ends of the heavens, everywhere. Just, if you haven't followed that, I get it. But here's what Jesus is saying. There's a bunch of stuff that will shake your security. There's a bunch of stuff that might make you feel like everything's ripped out from underneath you. But if you trust me, there will unquestionably be a moment when I will come back and share my glory with you. Whatever happens, you cannot be shaken. Jesus will come back and share his glory with his people. That also means something different, doesn't it? Because for those who don't trust Jesus, for those who have been shaking the earth, for those who don't know God, when Jesus comes back, it won't be to share his glory. It will be to judge, to punish all of those who haven't trusted him. See what Jesus is saying here? They want to know what will happen when the current foundation of their life is ripped from underneath them. What will happen, Jesus, when this whole thing is smashed, when this temple is gone? And Jesus says a lot will happen. But he also says, have me as your foundation, and no matter what, you'll be okay. You know, if that's true, think about this. If it's true that there's this moment, like the Bible says, that Jesus is coming back, when it's possible even the secure world you stand on will be turned upside down, if that's true, what will be your foundation? If Jesus is going to come back, you think about it. What is it? What are you going to have that allows Jesus to say, let me share my glory with you? What do you have? There's this story by a guy named Francis Schaeffer. And Francis Schaeffer talks about this thing called an invisible tape recorder. Kids, if you don't know what a tape recorder is, ask your mum and dad. If they don't know what it is, get them to ask their mum and dad. But a tape recorder just records sound. And Francis Schaeffer says, imagine you hang this tape recorder around your neck. And all it does is every time you give someone advice, it records it. Every time you hand out a bit of advice, tell someone what to do or how to do it, it just records it. And then Francis Schaeffer says, imagine then when God comes back, when Jesus comes back as God's representative, the only way he makes a decision about you is by playing that advice and then seeing if your life matched up to your own advice. The only way that God judges people is by judging them against the advice that they give. How would you go? You know, if you're remotely honest, you'd be smashed, wouldn't you? You just wouldn't have a leg to stand on. That's only against our own standard, let alone God's standard, really. You know, the return of Jesus as God's representative, it ought to be catastrophic for us. And maybe it's why some of you don't even want to think about it. But there's a reason the disciples, there's a reason the people in this story can look forward and actually find comfort in that return of Jesus. It's because their foundation of life is not in the temple, but in what Jesus has done. Their foundation of life becomes in Jesus, who takes the judgment they deserve at the cross, so that when he comes back again, they can share in his glory. Just moments after Mark 13, it's really a matter of moments. Jesus hangs on a cross, and there he experiences darkness. There his world is shattered. There he finds himself finding God's anger at people's sin. And when we trust in God for security, it's like we're given a whole new tape recorder. A tape recorder around our neck that only ever plays Jesus' words. That when God looks at us, he can see Jesus' life. And it's on the basis of Jesus' life that God assesses us. It's on the basis of Jesus' death that we can join in with God's glory. And here's the thing. The people in this passage in Mark 13, the strongest foundation they would ever have is trusting in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Not the temple, not anything else. Did it mean it would always be smooth sailing? No. But they knew, no matter how much shaking, the house built on Jesus would not fall. And here's the thing. The strongest foundation you will ever have is trusting in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Not your job, not your health, not anything else. Even in the midst of being shaken by COVID-19, a house built on Jesus will not fall. We wait with hope for when he'll come back and share his glory. Look, I'm almost done, and then we're going to listen to a song together to reflect. But I know doing this, it would just be irresponsible of me not to talk to you. If you're in a group of people for whom this should actually be a bit scary, it could be you. Some people watching, you live lives that are indifferent, apathetic, droopy even. I'm talking to Christian people, just to be clear. If you the kind of Christian people who just sort of floats along, not really thinking about Jesus, not really thinking about his second coming. When we were allowed, you turned up to church every third week or so, depending on the weather or what else was happening. You pick up the live stream occasionally, but drop out after a few minutes because there's something more interesting. Maybe you say grace, but that's it. You don't know your neighbour and it doesn't bother you, as if God's message has no relevance for them. Generally, things are all right for you. Job, family, money. But your Christian life just floats along. You need to be careful. The temple was smashed. So was Jesus. And if you keep mucking around with life's foundation, you could be smashed too. That's not where I want to finish. Because what I see is there are actually a whole bunch of people who are living just like Jesus describes here. You are faithful, waiting for him in a very real way. You know, this church family, DPC, and if you don't know it, I don't want to appear like I'm bragging, but I do want to encourage the people who are normally with us here at Dalby Presbyterian. There are a bunch of people here who live ready for the crucified and resurrected Jesus, against the cultural trend to abandon God's words as out of date and irrelevant. DPC and all its congregations sails against the wind. People really prize seeing Jesus in the Bible as they read it and listen to it. In just the last few weeks, hundreds of people have set aside time to watch the live stream, more than we probably imagined. Even when it means wrestling out-of-control kids so that you can listen. If you're an out-of-control kid at the moment, stop it. even if it means using technology that you are really uncomfortable with. And I've had the privilege of hearing so many stories of Christians in DPC trusting in God at the moment in a calm, confident, generous way that makes them a great presence in this anxious world. And if you've been watching this long, I mean, seriously, I guess it's because against the kind of cultural trend, you're trying to base your life on the firm and secure foundation of Jesus. And then it gets personal, really. Some of our Dolby Presbyterian family, you've been following Jesus so long, you've been around long enough to see him take your health away and give it back. Some of you have been around long enough to see your money being taken away and then given back, only to lose it all again. You've been around long enough to see your husband or wife walk out or die. Jobs have come and go. You've been betrayed by father or brother or sister or child. Some of you have literally been surrounded by armies, hauled before the courts, or forced to flee and start again with nothing. You've relearned to share your faith several times because what you used to be able to say is not politically correct anymore. But right now, you're still with Jesus. And I don't need to tell you that so many things we think are firm and secure aren't. You need to tell us. There are lots of you watching this. You should be in front of the camera telling us what it means to live with Jesus. Because you've trusted Jesus in a simple, gritty, determined way that is more profound than can be said. With a calm, confident, and gracious spirit, you cling to the cross that's convinced you to wait it out for Jesus' glory. And whatever shakes you, you know that in the end, that Jesus' glory will be shared with you. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to throw to Jared, who's going to lead us in a song. Let me pray. Lord God, there are so many things that aren't firm and secure, things that get shaken, things that just suddenly can be ripped out from underneath us. And at the moment with COVID-19, there are so many of those things. And yet you've sent your son, the Lord Jesus, who died for our lack of trust in you, who resurrected and went to you to receive glory, who is coming back to share his glory with those who trust in him. I pray, Lord, for those who are watching who don't yet trust Jesus, that you would show them the weakness of the foundation of their life and the strength of Jesus. And for those of us who know you, remind us of the firmness of what Jesus has done and help us to wait in hope for his return when his glory will be shared with us. Amen.